We're at the Writers' Festival and we're talking to human rights lawyer David Mann. Good afternoon, David. You're here in terms of the work that you've done and the papers you've delivered in terms of human rights and refugee issues, which is a bit quite a theme at this particular festival. We've talked a lot too about persecution of journalists a lot at this fest there. Do you think that the growing global situation with immigration and refugees has nowhere reached its actual apex, that we're actually going to get bigger and bigger problems that we've got to try and solve?
Look, it may well be the case that I think the starting point is to look at what many people call the unprecedented crisis at the moment. And what that means is that in terms of scale, nature and scale, we're talking about 59.5 million people who have been forcibly displaced around the world, either people who've fled their home country, which is about 20 million people, it's about 19.5 million, and they're refugees, and also many others that are trapped in their home country, what we call people who are, you know, internally displaced. And on top of that, if you look at it in relative terms, that there's been a 40% increase in people forcibly displaced in the last 3 years. So it's getting worse and worse. That's the trajectory. And on top of that, if you look at the fact that right at the moment, every day there are 42,500 people per day, in addition to those that I've mentioned, who are being forcibly displaced, newly forcibly displaced people, and that 51% of refugees at the moment that I've spoken about, 51% of them are children.
So how can we actually try and alleviate this problem in terms of breaking down the barriers towards these people actually shifting? I mean, we can't stop them escaping because everyone has a natural human urge to want to escape from feeling under threat. So it's not going to stop. So we either have to stop the threat, what's threatening them, or we have to just make it easier to absorb them. Do you think countries are going to come to this conclusion?
Well, I think we need to confront some facts first. And one of them is that the traditional forms of solutions, as we call them, which include resettlement, which include repatriation when it's safer, or local integration where someone's fled, those sort of solutions are not holding anymore. They're not taking hold. They're sort of defunct. And so it's going to need a new approach worldwide. And what it's going to actually need, a massive moral shift, so that there is a rethink, a reimagination of our common humanity. And one that takes into account the fact that around the world there are, for example, baby boys who will die old men in refugee camps. They're being born in refugee... Now, what does that mean for our sense of humanity, of common humanity, and what are we going to do about it? And the fact is that at the moment, the nature of conflict is changing too, that around the world we're seeing increasingly, internal armed conflict and violence of a different form. Syria is a very good example with the sort of spread of IS and terror in that way. So what do we do about it? There are no easy solutions, and I think that that's the starting point. There does need to be a massive moral shift, and I think it needs to also accept that there has been a fundamental failure at the political level worldwide to actually confront the problem and start to work on solutions. We see a lot of quite, you know, to varying degrees, a lot of immediate sort of short-term responses to crises, with varying degrees of success. But what we don't see is the ability in what appears to be a sort of an overwhelming problem. We don't see any sort of medium or long-term solutions being presented at the moment. We need them, and they're possible. One way of measuring whether they're possible is to actually look at the response worldwide to crises from civil society, from the public. What we see around the world, deep concern for those that we don't know. People donate all the time to crises. We see deep, profound concern in Europe about people drowning at sea and major attempts to rescue people at sea. And on, I could go on, but it's not as if there's a mass disinterest in the suffering. There is, in fact, very significant concern about the suffering, but not enough is being done. There's a fundamental lack of political leadership. I think that that's one of the crucial problems. But also as part of that, I think that we also need to remember something, and that is that that there is no universal law of moral progress, right? You know, abolition of slavery the advancement of women's rights, reform in relation to and rethinking of human sexuality, of gay and lesbian issues. These advancements, and I'm not saying they're complete, but there have been major advancements on those issues over time, have not happened somehow because of some universal law that just made them happen. They've happened because people drove them. And I think that that itself is crucial in the understanding. We all have to be part of it. We all have to act on it. We all need to ask for this sort of change.
Thank you for talking to us, David.
Thanks a lot.